You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
One in three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's HAPPY program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under six or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
I am Bertrand Tungandami on NITV Radio, and it's that time of the week to catch up with Wiradjuri woman and Sansan Technology editor Ray Johnston to talk everything science and technology. Welcome back to NITV Radio, Ray.
Thank you for having me back. It's always lovely to speak with you.
Yeah. Now, to start off, rapid fire climate extremes leave the Great Barrier Reef a bleached checkerboard. How is that?
Yeah, this is really interesting. So a new study, it's revealed the impacts of multiple climate extremes on coral reefs over the past three decades. And only 2% of the Great Barrier Reef is escaping bleaching in that time. And the frequency and intensity and scale of climate extremes, it's changing rapidly because of global warming. And this includes the record-breaking marine heat waves that cause corals to bleach and die. Now, bleaching, it's a stress response by overheated corals during heat waves where they lose their colour and many of them will struggle to survive. And 80% of reefs were bleached very severely in 2016, 2017 and 2020. And five bouts of mass bleaching since 1998 have turned the Great Barrier Reef into what they're describing as a checkerboard of reefs with very different recent histories. So the Northern Reef, it escaped damage in 1998 and 2002, before being the worst affected region in 2016, while the South Reef, it escaped bleaching in 2016 and 2017. So using satellite data, the scientists behind this study, they measured the duration and the intensity of the heat stress that the reef was exposed to each summer to try to explain why different parts were affected in each event. And what they found is the responses to extreme heat depended on if they'd been bleached recently already. So they found the threshold for bleaching was much higher on reefs that had experienced an earlier episode of heat stress. And the most vulnerable reefs each year are the ones that haven't been bleached recently. And corals, they still need time to recover before another round of heat stress so that they can make babies that will, you know, disperse and settle and recover the depleted parts of the reef. So action to curb climate change is really crucial, and a drastic cut in greenhouse gas emissions by all countries is really vital for the future of coral reefs and also for the hundreds of millions of people who depend on them. So the more we know about our reefs, the better. And this is just some more information for us to know.
Yeah, checkerboard. That's I wish we could see could have that actually visually reproduced in a form of a picture or some computer-generated image, so people can visualize it and really understand what's going on.
Yeah, it's much easier to understand how it's being impacted when we've got visual clues like that rather than just, you know, hearing about it or reading about it. Yeah. But it makes a lot of sense. And now that we know that this is how, you know, reefs are under risk, you know, and how they are able to avoid bleaching, it makes a lot more sense. So it's really important to have this sort of research going on.
Yeah, I guess that will be the next step that a scientist will take. And now, one that's a bit baffling. Could the future of aviation fuel be created out of thin air? Is that a pun or is it real?
Yeah, creating fuel out of thin air, it sounds like something out of science fiction, doesn't it? But no, this is international scientists have worked on this, a whole team of them, and they've shown that they can make the kind of fuel needed for aviation, for planes, and for shipping as well, by zapping carbon and water out of the air with sunlight. And they've made a device that sucks up carbon and water molecules from the air and turns them into kerosene, gasoline, or diesel by shooting them with highly concentrated sunlight. And what this does is it creates a mixture of carbon dioxide and hydrogen called syngas, which can be turned into fuels. Now, they say that this technology is basically carbon neutral because the amount of CO2 released by burning the fuels is no greater than the CO2 removed from the atmosphere to make it. And the researchers, they've already managed to make 32 milliliters rather of methanol in a 7-hour demonstration, which shows how technically viable this solar fuel production process is. But they do say that it's going to cost a lot of money to make. So those startup high investment costs mean that we really kind of need a lot of government policy support for this to be the kind of thing that is widespread in the future. Either government support or some sort of benevolent tech billionaire giving them some funding to be able to make this possible. But I found this story fascinating.
No, it's fascinating. And if it were actually to be developed, and I think because it's just the early phase of this study, it sounds too expensive, but maybe with more research and more work on it, they'll manage to bring some cost-effective result out of this. And it could save the environment at the same time and provide aviation fuel, which would allow us to travel freely and not freely, but...
almost. No, it sounds pretty good to me, honestly. It's a little bit too good to be true, but I do trust this study. Fingers crossed it can happen.
I really look forward to it being developed further. And now a rare boomerang collection from Cooper Creek reveals a diverse past. How did they find this?
It's really, really exciting, this one. I'm so excited to talk about this because new research, it's analysed a rare collection of non-returning boomerangs. We all know about returning boomerangs, but some of them are non-returning. And these are from Kinipapa, which is Cooper Creek, near the Innaminka in South Australia's far northeast. And these four boomerangs, and there's one wooden fragment as well, they were discovered in the creek bed during drought conditions in 2017 and 2018 by Jason Litherland from National Parks and Wildlife in South Australia and also Catherine Litherland, who is a traditional owner in that area. And the project to analyse the artefacts, it was a collaborative one and it was initiated by the Yandruwanda Yawarawaka traditional landowners as well. And they partnered with the Australian Heritage Services and Flinders University and the Australian Nuclear Science and Technology Organisation to really carefully document the objects and to also do some radiocarbon dating on them to work out how old they are. And the results of that radiocarbon dating, it showed that the boomerangs range in age from 1650 to 1830. Now, this is a time that spans the two centuries leading up to European invasion and also exploration in the region by people like Sturt and Burke and Wills. And it also reveals a real variety of both form and function, which is a good representation of the diverse cultural activities and daily lives of Aboriginal people who lived near significant water holes in that region during that time. So as well as being used for projectiles, which we're all familiar with, these boomerangs, they were also used for fighting and hunting and digging and fire management and in ceremonies. And this is a range of activities that goes beyond the stereotype of the returning boomerang known to most people. And for the traditional owners in this area, this provides another example of how their country continues to tell the stories of their ancestors, as well as giving a tangible connection to the knowledge passed down from their families. And Catherine Litherland, she spoke about this and she said that they're going to continue to protect and preserve these artifacts on country rather than put them in a museum somewhere, because that's what their ancestors would want them to do. And I know that I talk about the impacts of climate change a lot, but it's very relevant to talk about it here as well, because if that's what they're going to do and that's what their ancestors would want them to do, you know, predictions for climate change in the region, they do threaten to alter the conditions that allowed these artifacts to be preserved in the first place, which might affect the potential survival of other wooden objects that remain in the environment as well. So yet another reason to, you know, get on to curbing climate change and put pressure on our governments and decision makers.
Not only that, especially because there's so much more to learn, and we discover them at a very slow pace. Discoveries like these don't come about all the time. And we should really do a lot to preserve the climate and also do more to learn more about these stories that are just hidden in plain sight.
Absolutely. No, I think it's incredibly important to be able to, you know, do these studies in collaboration with, you know, and initiated by First Nations people. I think it's always really important to have, you know, these studies come from a place of the traditional owners in an area wanting to know more about what's around them, rather than, you know, people just coming into an area and deciding to dig places up. You know, that's the way that things have been done in the past, and it's not appropriate. And it's nice to see these collaborations being initiated by traditional owners.
Most definitely. Well, Ray Johnston, thank you so much for bringing us more new and important science and technology stories this week.
No, thanks for having me.
1 in 3 of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn and talk to others. Hearing Australia's HAPPY program offers free, safe and simple hearing checks for kids under 6 or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.